Right, our next session is on Zimbabwe. So I believe our moderator is Mr. Hopewell Moore, Director of Mining at Ernst & Young, if you would kindly take to the stage.
Thank you, and a very good welcome. What we're going to do now is to invite His Excellency the Ambassador to just give a brief overview on Zimbabwe and the steps that we are taking in terms of the re-engagement to the international community. Your Excellency the Ambassador, I invite you to give it 5-10 minutes.
Thank you very much, Director of Ceremonies or Moderator, Mr. Hopewell Moore, and the Business Development Executive of Financial Markets Indaba, Mr. Patrick Mzondo, distinguished guests who include, of course, representatives of the Zimbabwe Investment Development Agency, led by Mr. Alexio Chiunya here. Ladies and gentlemen, I was delighted to listen to the presentation by colleagues from Mali. And when at this end they said, Bienvenue au Mali, le pays de l'eau et de beaucoup de... d'autres choses. I also wanted to say, je voudrais dire bienvenue au Zimbabwe, le pays de l'eau et de beaucoup d'autres choses. Well, distinguished guests, I really am delighted to have been invited to make a few remarks at this third annual Arab Africa Mining Conference. I had hoped that I would be able to bring with me a colleague who has come from home, but unfortunately, he came at the invitation of some institutional investors who were primarily focusing on understanding the macroeconomic outlook in Zimbabwe. That's the Secretary for Finance and Economic Development in Zimbabwe. And so right now they are having discussions in the city looking at recent developments and expectations for economic growth, the macroeconomic environment, a balance of payments, inflation, you know, issues that concern the productive sector such as mining and agriculture and others, when in fact you are operating. I believe that this conference provides an opportune platform for us all to share views on appropriate mechanisms that we can employ to accelerate our quest for increased productivity in the mining industry. And I want to thank the organizers of the conference for bringing together the various stakeholders to deliberate on matters pertinent to the sustainable development of the mining industry. The remarks that I do make, I'm aware as well that we have a team that will share perhaps more detail with the conference in terms of the most recent developments in the mining industry in Zimbabwe. But I just wanted to say, in the same way perhaps as colleagues from Mali indicated that mining in Mali goes back centuries. And so it is in Zimbabwe, perhaps in, you know, in various parts of the African continent. I think some of you may have seen films or read about King Solomon's mines and all various other fables that historically are told about the mining, primarily of gold, but of course, more recently, of other minerals as well. So the mining sector has over time provided a major vehicle for economic development. And in the case of Zimbabwe, government has earmarked the mining sector as a key driver to socioeconomic development in the country and as a catalyst to broad-based empowerment and the reduction of poverty in the society. And so government has created performance targets for the mining sector. I know you will be hearing more in terms of the performance targets. Perhaps at present, the sector could be providing anything between $3 or $4 billion in terms of forex earnings. But I think going forward, clearly in the next 5 years, the expectation that is that perhaps that figure should be quadrupled. And of course, we believe that as that happens, that feeds into the government's vision, which has been espoused by His Excellency President E.D. Mnangagwa, to transform Zimbabwe into an upper middle income economy by 2030. And we believe that this is possible for the mining sector in Zimbabwe because of the ingredients that we have. By ingredients, I refer to, of course, the natural resource endowment itself. We are talking of, I don't know, it could be 40, 60, many, many minerals that, you know, we have, and I'll outline a few of those. But beyond that natural resource endowment, we also have outstanding human skills, literacy, workmanship that is there in the country is of a very high quality. And so we believe that that is very key in taking the mining sector forward. But of course, we then obviously look to the mobilization of funding and capital resources, the mobilization of technology, new techniques, be they looking at the exploration side of things or the value addition, the processing of the various minerals that we may have. Within the context of the Transitional Stabilization Program, and this is a two-year program, 2018 to 2020, that has been put in place by government as the initial program within the Vision 2030. Government has initiated policy reforms, and these policy reforms are intended to enhance the country's competitiveness as an investment destination of choice by removing bottlenecks, red tape, and all forms of corruption within the bureaucracy. The reforms guarantee that Zimbabwe remains a safe, favorable, and competitive investment destination, and the government is putting in place specific policies to solidify the country's mineral development plan. As I indicated, you will hear more about this mineral development plan that includes specific policies on diamonds, on iron ore, nickel, chrome, coal, hydrocarbon policy, and also, of course, gold, lithium, and platinum. I see there is a flash here. Does this have anything to do with my time? Yes, it does. Okay. All right. So let me then, if that is the case, because my remarks will be made available to participants in the conference, but I just want to emphasize and highlight that Zimbabwe is witnessing unprecedented investor interest in the mining sector and all associated value chain industries. And I have to say that of late there have been very concerted investment efforts, primarily in the platinum sector, the lithium sector as well, the diamond sector, and of course in the gold sector. And I believe that the value chains that are coming through are going to provide a lot of focus in the economic growth and development of the country, particularly when you look at lithium to batteries value chain, the diamonds to jewelry, the chrome to chrome plated goods value chains, and also the gold to jewelry and iron to steel, coal to liquid fuel value chains. And we do hope that given the major reforms that are being put in place, particularly to improve and enhance the ease of doing business, this will clearly accelerate economic growth in the country. The medium to long-term prospects of the mining industry are very bright. Output for most minerals is expected to record phenomenal growth as government and the private sector focus on opening closed mines, increasing capacity, exploration, and developing new mines. And of course, Zimbabwe will continue to prioritize the processing and issuance of exploration licenses in order to revamp mineral exploration across the country. In conclusion, let me assure the participants here that investments into the mining sector and the mining value chain industries that I have indicated are most welcome and safe in Zimbabwe, and we are committed to creating the necessary environment and requirements to support mining investments. I want to thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Your Excellency. Without wasting much more time, let me invite the panelists that we have. But then we're going to have 20, 30 minutes next session, just highlighting the success stories in Zimbabwe and what the government is doing to ensure there's a conducive operating environment and the improvement of the ease of doing business. And then after that, I'll open to the floor. Then we have 10 to 15 minutes of questions. So can I invite the panelists? Yeah, that's okay. So, thank you. So, first of all, we are going to have Mr. Alex Chiunye. Mr. Alex Chiunye is the director of Zimbabwe Development, ZIDA, Zimbabwe Development. So he's going to explain to us the actions that the government has taken to ease the business environment and atmosphere in Zimbabwe. Mr. Chiunye.
Well, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Allow me to start by acknowledging the Zimbabwean High Commissioner to the UK, Ambassador Katsande. And my presentation, as you see, is on the new Zimbabwe and the regulation. What does that mean for foreign investors and operators? The presentation will start with the introduction, followed by the macroeconomic reforms, transitional stabilization program, investment reforms, formation of ZIDA, what the reforms mean to investors, repeal of the indigenization and empowerment law, security of investments, then we go to the conclusion. Zimbabwe has been beset by many challenges for many years, including economic decline, unemployment, and reduced industrial activity. With the advent of the new dispensation, bold measures had to be taken to change the entire matrix. The new dispensation prioritizes the economy over politics and adopted the vision of attaining an upper middle income status by 2030. The President, His Excellency E.D. Mnangagwa, declared that Zimbabwe is open for business. Government adopted a host of reforms through a two-year transitional stabilization program, 2018-2020. The transitional stabilization program, the reforms were adopted to change the Zimbabwe narrative, including engagement and re-engagement with the community of nations, fiscal and monetary reforms, legislative reforms, corporate governance, zero tolerance to corruption, and investment reforms. With investment reforms, the investment environment in the country was unattractive, mainly due to restrictive regulations, multiplicity of institutions dealing with investments, and cumbersome procedures. The investment regulatory framework comprised three different pieces of legislation administered by an equal count of institutions. The reform therefore seeks to dissolve, reconfigure, and integrate the three entities into one entity called the Zimbabwe Investment and Development Agency, ZIDA. The three entities to be dissolved are Zimbabwe Investment Authority, which is ZIA, the Joint Ventures Unit, Special Economic Zones Authority. Within the new agency, ZIDA is the one-stop investment service center, which serves as a one-stop shop for all investors. The bill to establish ZIDA is currently before Parliament, and it is hoped that it will be promulgated soon. The ZIDA bill is primed to safeguard investments and guarantee property rights. Formation of ZIDA removes the bureaucratic morass that characterized the previous regime. It does away with the practice of referring prospective investors to various government departments and other entities that provide service. It is designed to deliver service under one roof. Now, what do these reforms mean for foreign investors? The Transitional Stabilization Program, which I mentioned before, targets reopening of closed mines, expansion of mines that are operating below capacity, opening of new mines, promoting beneficiation and value addition through domestic smelting and refining to increase earnings for mineral resources. opening up of some state-owned enterprises for international investors, including 17 Zimbabwe Mining Development Corporation subsidiaries. And ZMDC is a government institution which owns the 17 subsidiaries that I talked about. This includes for copper, the Alaska and Mangura and Sanyati mines, 14 tantalite lithium, we have Kamativi, Lutope, and Kapata. For gold, there's Jena, Elvington, Sabi, and Golden Copy. For limestone, we have Mumburume, asbestos, Shaban, and Gas Mine, coal bed methane, Mbungu, Gwai, emeralds, we have Sandawana. All these are opportunities that international investors should take up. You might also need to know that the indigenization and the empowerment law, which foreign investors were concerned with, has been repealed. The piece of legislation required 51-49% shareholding structure on all foreign investments. Now, foreign investors can now own 100% shareholding in all investments, with the only exception being platinum and diamonds. However, this policy on platinum and diamonds is being reviewed. Let me go on to the notable new investments projects. Following the various reforms by government, the country has been receiving huge interest from investors. Notable upcoming projects include Karo Resources. This is the establishment of a 4.2 billion integrated PGMs project. Then we have Tsingshan. This is a Chinese company. The company entered into an agreement with government to establish a 2 billion steel manufacturing project. Its subsidiary, Afroshin, has already completed construction of two additional chrome smelters to increase ferrochrome production. Then we have another one, Bravura. The company signed an agreement with government to explore and develop a PGM resource along the Great Dyke. Then there is the Great Dyke Investments. The company again entered into an agreement with government to develop a PGMs mine in Dawendale. And lastly, we have Prospect Resources. The company is developing Acadia lithium mine in Kuromonzi, which is in Mashonaland East Province. You might also need to know that companies with existing operations are also expanding their operations due to increase in investor confidence in the country. For example, Unki Mine recently commissioned its smelter. Coming on to security of investments, the Zimbabwe government is committed to protection of all investments in line with international best practices. You will wish to know that Zimbabwe is a signatory to bilateral and international agreements, including Overseas Private Investment Corporation, Multilateral Investment Guarantee Agency, International Center for Settlement of Investment Disputes. We also have bilateral investment promotion and protection agreements with a number of countries. We are also a signatory to the United Nations Convention on International Trade Law. In conclusion, the reforms and the regulation that has taken place in Zimbabwe are for the benefit of all, including foreign investors. Foreign investors are welcome to invest in the country, as all investments are safe. My advice to you, ladies and gentlemen, is that this is the time to come into Zimbabwe. Don't continue sitting on the fence. Talk to us. We will work with you to develop the country. I thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chunye. So moving on now. So in the mining sector, we always talk about the resources, but one thing that gets forgotten is the actual mining equipment and the ancillaries to the mining industry. I have with me here Martin Orji. Martin, can you just talk us through what Next Rubika Capital is doing in terms of the mining sector in Zimbabwe? equipment side.
Thanks. We are very keen in Zimbabwe in terms of how to support the government and the economy with further developing its mining strategy. And obviously, from where we stand, one of the bigger problems has been around funding equipment, especially for the smaller miners. Equipment obviously represents a large chunk of capital sort of expenditure when you're sort of setting up and running a mine. So we saw an opportunity there, of course. And one of the key things has been how to provide a cost-effective but sustainable, should I say, sort of funding for the miners to acquire this equipment. So it involved, you know, getting a lot of the equipment providers. It also involved coming up with addressing the big problem here, which is the smaller miners don't have the balance sheet. They don't have the track record.
Okay, so from a capital kind of point of view, how have you been able to address some of the challenges, which are global?
We're still addressing. There's no panacea here. I mean, it's like you're right. It's global. It's the same problem anywhere. It's the same problem where you're trying to move companies from, let's say, SME to full institutional level. But the what we have done has been to pull a lot of these miners, essentially to gain some sort of size. And once you do that, yes, it creates other problems, but it addresses the balance sheet issue, and then you can now, to some level, deal with all the other risks that come along. So that was the first thing we did.
Good. One of the companies which has been really been successful in navigating Zimbabwe is Vast Resources. We have pleasure to have Vast Resources here, CEO here, Andrew Prelia. Andrew.
Thank you very much. Thanks for the honourable guests and other panellists for inviting us to speak today. It's been a very, let's say, turbulent time for Zimbabwe, especially over the course of the last 18 months. Vast Resources has been in Zimbabwe present since 2006 in its former guise. It's invested significant amounts of money, I think approaching $80 million over that period in both investment in direct exploration and production. So we've been quite an active participant in Zimbabwe and seen the political change. It has been a very difficult time, and it's always hard to acquire a debt, especially for the mining process in Zimbabwe, which we've managed to overcome by way of equity historically. But seeing the changes that have been happening over the course of the last 18 months, and especially since the elections, it's only been 12 months, and I think people tend to forget that you can't change the direction of a country in such a short period of time. It's a very difficult thing to navigate, especially from political sensitivity point of view. So the country's gone through a lot of change over the course of the last 18 months, and again over the last 12 months, and initiatives such as the one-stop shop at the Ministry of Mines has been very helpful for investors. And now with the ZETA being formed, it's also another avenue for investors to approach, to go directly to be able to find ways of navigating the historical political system that's now undergoing a lot of change. And we're seeing those changes, and that mantra of Zimbabwe as being open for business, we're seeing a change on a daily basis. You know, for example, now...
Yeah, that's an interesting observation. What do you think now is really the time that investors should really be coming in droves to Zimbabwe?
I mean, now we've changed direction as a company. We're now focusing on the heritage concession and the diamond claims, which has been progressing very nicely, and we're there. But I think that the fundamental difference between some of the other African countries that have presented over the course of the last 2 days here in Zimbabwe is that, you know, they've had the benefit of time to establish systems. And now it's getting expensive to get into the other African nations. I think now is an opportune time to invest in Zimbabwe because it's at the inception of change. It now is the time to come with the money. You've got an active government that is trying to promote investment in the country and still talking in the City of London. It's they're very apprehensive with deploying capital there because of fear of uncertainty. But we're forgetting the mining history in the country and the natural resource base that is there. And just as importantly as the natural resources that are sitting in the ground are the human resources, which are also natural resources that are abundant in Zimbabwe. So it's a highly undervalued country with an ample opportunity. And the history of the mining companies that were there during its heyday of mining should be a direct signal to those people who are early starters to come into a country, because there's proof. Very, very few countries, and believe me, there are a lot more countries that are more politically unstable than Zimbabwe, where institutional investment is deploying significant sums of capital, whereas you've got a highly educated, stable country now with a vast history, excuse the pun, of mining, and people are still apprehensive in deploying their capital there, despite the proven history of the Zimbabwe mining sector, which I find quite ridiculous, to be perfectly frank.
Thank you. And Mr. Chunye, maybe you can expand. You mentioned that there has been a lot of legislative reforms in terms of opening up to international investors, in particular the change of the policy, which used to require 51% ownership of to come from Zimbabwean indigenous Zimbabwean people, and that has been changed. Can you talk us through more on such changes which are making the atmosphere really conducive?
Thank you very much. Like I stated in my presentation, the indigenization and empowerment law was one of the most contentious legislation within the Zimbabwean government system. And government realized that, yes, the concern from investors was valid. So that legislation has been repealed, like I said. And foreign investors, you can now own 100% in all the minerals, except for just two now, which are diamonds and platinum. But even for those two, government is working on repealing again for those two. So very soon, for the two, we could go to 100% for foreign investors. Other areas where investors were concerned was two legislations on IPA and POSA. IPA is access to information. You see, those two have already been repealed by government. So the issue of human rights in Zimbabwe is no longer an issue as it were. There are also other areas that government has opened up. So, like I said, this is the time for investors to come into Zimbabwe.
Thank you. Maybe, Your Excellency, you can expand as well on the economic and political reform which has swept through the country since, obviously, the change of government from the previous era under President Mugabe to the new era, the new dispensation, with President Emmerson Mnangagwa, you know, taking on a new direction.
Thank you very much. I think the starting point has to be the commitment that His Excellency President Edi Mnangagwa demonstrated right from the inauguration day. Commitment to broaden and deepen the political space, commitment to carry out a deep economic, political, legislative reforms, and of course these legislative reforms had also to do with the aligning of the various pieces of legislation to the 2013 Constitution, which is the constitution of the nation. So that has meant that has led to the creation of various delivery platforms and mechanisms. For the legislative arrangements, we have an interministerial committee that was put in place to make sure that you know, the alignment of the pieces of legislation and the reforms agreed to at policy level actually were speeded up. We have seen the processing of various electoral reforms as well, both before the elections and after the elections. We had various observer missions. We have the we had the Commonwealth observer mission. We had the EU observer mission, SADC, AU, you know, various other observer groups who made recommendations, and all these have been taken up on board, and you know, they have either been processed already or are actually work in progress. So I think there has been a demonstration on the political front and the legislative front to carry through these reforms, and as you know, His Excellency the President has also extended an invitation to all the presidential candidates who went into the elections and the political parties who went into the elections to come forward into a national dialogue process, so that, you know, on the basis of a consultative process, various stakeholders could contribute and participate in these very deep processes. But I think the most exciting developments have been in the economic arena, the economic reforms that have been taking place. We had a situation where the economy was really weighed down by a budget deficit, expenditure overruns. This is now a thing of the past. We no longer have a budget deficit to talk about. We actually, for the first time, have been talking of a budget surplus since the end of last year. And what that did was also to rein in, you know, the inflationary spirals that were now coming through the economy. But there were also reforms related to the state enterprise sector, the huge parastatals, which really should contribute a huge chunk to the GDP, but which have not been doing that. And these are now going through either privatization or restructuring or JVs or various other PPPs to allow the private sector to come to the fore and create growth in the economy. We have also seen the Minister of Finance. What the President did was to bring into place somebody who was not a politician at all. This was an investment banker and an academic who was lecturing both. I think it was Oxford or Cambridge.
Oxford University.
Yes, and LSE. But who has been an investment banker in the economy, who was very, very clear on what needed to be done. And the PEMSEC that I was referring to was also the CEO of Barclays Bank in the country. Mm-hmm. This is a banker coming in to look at, you know, the issues that, and perhaps that may really explain, with the support of, you know, cabinet, how the Minister of Finance and the Reserve Bank, the Central Bank, have been able to carry out these major economic reforms that are starting to give a lot of confidence to investors, to demonstrate, you know, that Zimbabwe is indeed a safe destination, and that they can, you know, do business and be assured that, you know, their investments will be indeed safe.
Thank you, Your Excellency. Just before I open to the floor, maybe we can have a word from Martin. How is the city of London, how has it responded to all the positive changes that are taking place in Zimbabwe?
I think, as His Excellency has said, you know, it always starts with putting the right people in the right, you know, square pegs, square holes. You know, start with that, and I think the city recognizes that. Now, that's been quite positive. The practicality of this is how does that then impact on actual investments coming from the city? City always looks at things from an institutional perspective. It always looks at risk. And from what we see in the transactions that we're doing is that from an export insurance and from a credit mitigation perspective, we're seeing numbers. Before, there were no figures for Zimbabwe. And if there are no figures for Zimbabwe, we can't invest. Now there are numbers. So at least we know the risk. At least we can figure out what our yield or our margin would be on the deal, which essentially is, you know, from an insurance perspective, from a coverage perspective, we have a benchmark. So I think that's what we're seeing now, and you know, only one way but up.
Thank you. Encouraging to note that there's a bit of some takeoff. We'll have another short presentation from Mr. Chiunye before we have the question and answer.
Well, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This presentation was supposed to be done by our Minister of Mines. Unfortunately, he was held up somewhere, so he couldn't make it. So I am making the presentation on behalf of the Minister, Mining Potential and Investment Opportunities in Zimbabwe Mining Sector. We will start with the introduction, geology and prospectivity, mineral potential, mining sector development plan, investment opportunities, then we go to the conclusion. The mining sector is strategic to Zimbabwe's national economy and is the centerpiece to economic turnaround and sustainable development. The sector remains a significant pillar of growth and recovery of Zimbabwe's economy and currently contributes over 13% to GDP, earns over 60% of the country's foreign currency, attracts more than 5% of FDI into the country, is a major contributor to infrastructure development, and directly employs over 45,000 people. The sector has strong linkages to local, regional, and international value chains. Coming on to geology and prospectivity, Zimbabwe has high potential geological environments, comparable to that of leading mining economies, and has unique and highly prospective geological environments. It has expansive craton with high diamond prospectivity. There are widespread greenstone belts rich in precious metals, precious stones, base metals, and industrial minerals. We have the Great Dyke, which cuts across the country. I think you can see it on the map. There are Precambrian sedimentary basins rich in placer gold and diamond deposits. There are Karoo basins rich in coal bed and methane, gas, natural gas, and uranium. There are also metamorphic belts rich in pegmatite minerals such as lithium, tantalite, rare earth elements, etc. Zimbabwe is host to about 60 minerals whose commercial profitability have been proved at one point or another. Zimbabwe has attracted leading mining companies such as Impala Platinum, Anglo American, Rio Zim, Asa Resources, and Caledonia Mining, just to mention a few. Coming on to the mineral potential, Zimbabwe has huge potential in minerals of the future, with the following being the major minerals. Lithium. The country holds some of the world's largest lithium deposits. Projects that have come on stream include Bigita Minerals in Mashingo Province, Arcadia Lithium Project in Goromonzi, which is Mashonaland East Province, which potentially is a major world lithium deposit. We have also Zulu Lithium in Matabeleland South and Kamativi Mine in Matabeleland North. Coming on to gold, There are over 4,000 recorded gold deposits in the country, nearly all of them located on ancient workings. More than 90% of gold deposits in Zimbabwe are associated with greenstone belts, which are considered to be some of the richest in the world. Diamonds. The Zimbabwe Craton is comparable to that to the Cap Vall in South Africa, the Siberia, the Slave in Canada, and the Congo Cratons, and has huge potential for economic kimberlites. At least 160 kimberlites have been discovered in Zimbabwe, most of which are yet to be evaluated. Coal. Zimbabwe hosts large reserves of both thermal and coking coal in the Mid-Zambezi Basin and Save Limpopo Basin, with more than 26 billion tons of coal resources. Coal bed methane. The country's deep-seated coal deposits offer huge opportunities for CBM development. Conservative estimates for the Lupane area indicate gas resources far in excess of 100 million cubic meters. Platinum group metals. Zimbabwe hosts the second largest platinum group metals resource in the world on the Great Dyke. The potential outside the Great Dyke has not yet been investigated. Nickel. The country has high nickel prospectivity, with more than 30 deposits having been discovered. Bindura Nickel Corporation has the leading nickel mining, smelting, and refining investments in the country. Chrome. Zimbabwe hosts one of the world's largest resources of high-grade metallurgical quality chrome along the Great Dyke and the greenstone belts of Shurugwe, Belingwe, and Mashava. Then coming on to mining sector development plan, government is focusing on the following strategies to unlock the full potential of the mining sector in line with the TSP, which is the Transitional Stabilization Program and Vision 2030. Attracting relevant long-term capital, both domestic and foreign direct investment, enhanced exploration leading to opening of new mines, increased capacity utilization and reopening of closed mines, local beneficiation and value addition of mineral resources, establish linkages between the mining sector and other sectors of the economy, particularly manufacturing, continued development of skills and expertise, increased power generation capacity, and modernization of infrastructure networks, that is road, rail, and water. A steady growth of the mining sector is underway. The sector generated the following revenues. In 2017, it generated 2.7 billion, and then 3.2 billion in 2018. For 2019, the target is 4 billion. The sector is expected to generate 12 billion by 2023. Minerals development will be guided by specific mineral development policies that government is working on, and these include diamond development policy to be finalized soon, iron ore, nickel, and chrome development policy, coal and hydrocarbons policy, gold development policy, lithium development policy, platinum development policy. Enforcement of the use it or lose it principle is also expected to boost mineral production and unlock more investment opportunities. As stated before, the country has huge, highly diversified mineral endowment. Investment opportunities exist across the entire mining value. Yes, I can see the flash here. I'm about to finish now. Across entire mining value, that is exploration, both brownfield and greenfield, in mining and beneficiation. Let me go to the entry investment entry points. Access to prospecting and mining group may be, mining ground may be easily obtained by acquisition of prospecting license, pegging and restriction of own mining claims, purchase distributing of existing properties, entering into joint ventures with existing mining projects, both private and public. Like I said, you could also go into joint venture with the Zimbabwe Mining Development Corporation. A lot of prospective mining projects do not have resource statements. There is huge potential for investors willing to partner such prospects. Funding is required for development of small-scale miners, including the development of gold centers. Opportunities also exist in investing in infrastructure projects to support envisaged mining sector growth. And then let me go on to the conclusion, since I see that I am behind time. Zimbabwe's mining sector presents many competitive opportunities to different needs of diverse investors as a result of abundance of mineral resources, availability of high-skilled labor force that is easily trainable and willing to work. There are attractive investment incentives. I could have talked about it. Our mining tax is only 25%. We have functional systems in Zimbabwe, including Investor-Friendly Mines and Minerals Act. There is effective, efficient minerals marketing system. Progressive policies, for example, ease of doing business and rapid results initiatives. Availability of gold, of good infrastructure. Now, ladies and gentlemen, is the time to invest in Zimbabwe. I thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. We'll just have final words from our panelists, just to sum up. Martin?
Yeah, I think, I guess it's just more from experience with working with governments across Africa. I think for what ZIDA should focus on shouldn't be on promotion, and should be more on actual pre-development, and there's a huge difference. So I think if ZIDA can really push to that, I think it's going to achieve a lot. Across the projects. And then I think, you know, just in terms of the PPP framework, which His Excellency talked about, you know, it's important that this is enshrined in law and an act passed so that we can move forward.
Thank you. Andrew?
I think that everything that's been discussed on the panel today is a positive sign of change. We ourselves as VASTA are focused on community-based programs, which will assist in the economy's growth and also the changes within the local community that need to benefit directly from investment. But I think going through the front door with the likes of ZIDA can create an accelerated investment opportunity for any mining company. There's no doubt, there's no question, is there resource available? Is there something to mine in Zimbabwe? It's definitely there. We've experienced it firsthand. We've been in production there. We're planning on doing more, we're accelerating our investment programs into Zimbabwe, and I think that the investment community needs to understand that there has been massive change over the course of the last 18 months, and as everyone's been saying, it's now is the time to invest in Zimbabwe.
Thank you. Taurai? So Taurai is a senior metallurgist and the Minister of Mines. From a Minister of Mines perspective, what would you like the prospective investors to know?
Thank you very much. Like my High Commissioner said, Zimbabwe is open for business. We have got abundance of mineral resources, more than 60, as has been said. As a country, we have been, there are five major minerals which have been driving our country forward. We have gold, PGMs, chrome, we have diamonds, and coal. And as government or as a ministry, as Zimbabwe, we need to diversify, and we are very excited by the discovery of new mineral resources, the lithium, the coming in of lithium. We have had Bigita Minerals. We have Acadia Lithium Project, which is coming up. We also have some various exploration projects in lithium. And we also have some potential for rare earth minerals, potential for oil and various other minerals. The country is still underexplored. We need investment in exploration to discover Zimbabwe. And again, what's more important for the country, development of value chains. We've got various minerals that can be developed in the value addition and beneficiation matrix. We have the abundant resources in iron ore, in chrome, in manganese. Those are the major minerals that are needed in steel manufacturing. We have lots of potential for coal bed methane. We have huge resources of coal. There are opportunities for power generation and other value chains. So please feel free, come to Zimbabwe and invest in the mining sector value chain. Thank you.
Thank you. Your Excellency, if you could just close the session now. Mr. Chuinye.
How can I close it when there are so many exciting things coming up? No, just to quickly say that he raised the issue of exploration. That is key. It's very important. Zimbabwe is a country where I would say that, not much has been explored. And we require a lot of investment to go into exploration, to get more certainty in some of the, mineral resource endowments that are there. So that's going to be a very important key, because that then becomes the basis for feasibility and bankability, of the various projects going forward. But let me just say that Zimbabwe is an awakening giant. It is in the next 12 years or so, up to 2030, we are going to witness tremendous growth in the economy. And I was indicating that mining has been identified as a key driver of that growth. And on the basis of the recent developments, the confidence that we are seeing from the players who are now in the economy, who are participating fully, I can certainly say that the potential is there to outpace many, many other economies in terms of the economic growth rate in Zimbabwe. And that should really give confidence and satisfaction to intending investors. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Excellency. Thank you for listening. The panelists are going to be around. So if you have any questions, if you want any private meetings, they are going to be sticking around so you can have private discussions after the event. Thank you very much. Thank you.